here we go. Everybody get ready in 3, 2, 1.
From the top of Caxton Street, home of Suncorp Stadium, Lefties, Gambaros and the Caxton Hotel. On 104.5 Triple M and the Listener app, this is Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Margo. Triple M
Breakfast. Good morning, Marto. Good morning, Margo.
Hello, Josh. Thanks morning, for filling in for us on a wet... Well, no, it's not really wet, is it?
Wet Tuesday.
Slightly soggy.
It was raining when I came in. Well, it seems to be raining on the south side.
The lowlands. Well, you're close to the coast. And you know what? They're getting no rain whatsoever past the ranges, past the mountain ranges, which is, 80 k's west of here. So it's stopping just around Ipswich and stuff. So it's only us along the coast that are getting
I wanted to go out to Mulgrew yesterday. And
it would have been fine.
It would have been perfect, but the bloody dams are still shut, Marto.
Why are the dams shut? Did you want to go water skiing?
To just put the boat in.
Mad.
Marto and Margo, Triple M Breakfast.
Margo, there's a real problem out at Ipswich, and I've heard about it for a while, but I see the Channel 9 reporter last night on the news. Righto, let's get to the bottom of it. There's some terrible stench, and I've been hearing about it, and I couldn't avoid this because you know I love the thought they were going to be a boy, but they were born a girl,
yeah.
And they had like a Norma or a Philippa or things like that.
Nola.
And that's when it caught my ear and went, hold on, there's one of those, and they're talking about the stink. It's a double, it's a wonderful girl.
Double-edged story for you.
It's that bad, like I said, I've got to leave my house to get away from the smell.
Oh, God.
This is...
Is this from all the water, Marto?
I didn't know at this stage. Her name's Raylene.
Oh,
okay, so
Ray.
It was going to be little Ray. Uh-oh, no Willie. That's Raylene. So I don't want to make fun of Raylene, but she's in a terrible way because she lives at Dinmore.
Yep.
So they seem to say Dinmore, Swanbank around there, but it's no good.
Her asthma flares up and the headaches rarely go away.
I get a headache nearly every day. I've got one now.
I've got one now. Right now. She's a classic.
It's very present, this
issue. Raylene is a classic.
It's right here, right now.
And you wonder if you got this smell, how do you get rid of it? And I just wanted to highlight how Raylene, she's got a method. It's apparently there's 10,000 people around Ipswich, maybe 133353. Ring us, but this is how Raylene deals with it.
At times, she can even taste it,
ooh,
resorting to mints as a temporary solution.
Oh, no.
Mints? As in spaghetti bolognese?
No, as like minties.
Oh,
like a mint. Yeah, mint.
Oh, I thought she was having
a
kilo of mint. All right.
Hey, that would stink.
Hey, listen, here's some of the suburbs. I'm saying 133353, can somebody tell us what's going on? There's a dump at Swanbank somewhere.
Oh, is that flooded? Is it the runoff from all the creeks are swollen?
I don't know, but whether it's the old mine, Swanbank used to be the coal mine and there's holes everywhere. Apparently there's... Anyway, what did this bloke say?
It's not limited to one street. Residents from Dinmore, Swanbank, Bellbird Park, New Chum and Collingwood Park are being impacted.
Can't tell Dobbo live out there?
What? No, he's further out there. He's in town now.
Are you saying it's Dobbo's fault? Yeah, is Dobbo causing the smell?
Dobbo's the stench in Ipswich.
Take your bin out. Can somebody tell us what's going on out there in Ipswich? 133353. There's obviously... I've been hearing about it, and maybe it's just because of the flood. Something's
poor
still
Raylene,
there.
She's got a headache.
I know. She's spending hundreds on mints.
Got one right now.
The price of mints per kilo?
It's expensive.
133353. What's that smell in Ipswich?
What's
Triple
happening?
M Breakfast. Marto and Margo.
There's some big dump at Swanbank. I think it's owned by a private
mob. We've had confirmed that there's the Cleanaways dump out there, Marto. But Tony from Dinmore's called. Tony, the smell, are you aware of it? Where are you?
Mate, I'm at Dinmore, and the only thing I can smell every now and again is the meatworks. I don't know what they're whinging about.
Oh, the abattoir, of course. Okay. It's been there forever. It's a bloody huge one.
It's not that bad.
Yeah. Is it because you've become used to it, maybe conditioned to it? Raylene might not be so tough as you, Tony. She's got a headache.
She doesn't like it. Move.
That's exactly right. So you reckon there's no smell out there, Tony?
Nah.
Righto. It might just be a certain direction or something. What have we had lately? Southeasterlies, yeah. All right, thanks, mate. Adam from Ipswich. Which part of Ipswich are you, mate?
I'm in Central, but years ago I used to ride my push bike at the old mines there behind Dinmore, New Chum area.
Yeah.
And there used to be big cracks in the ground and you could actually see steam coming up. And like now, for the last month or so, I've been driving home through that same area and I've smelt the same thing.
What does it smell like?
It is a really
like?
Strong odour.
I saw the government say, oh, we've tested for hydrogen sulphide. I think that's rotten egg gas. Does it smell like that?
No, no. It is some sort of chemical or gas. It's not definitely not the meatworks, but yeah, definitely brought back memories of bloody 35 years ago when I used to ride my push bike up there.
So you think potentially the mines, Adam?
Yeah, definitely.
Because there were so many holes in the ground there at Swan Bank, wasn't there, for the coal mines?
Yeah, yeah.
They're not dumping stuff into those holes, are they?
Were filled up with water as well, I remember.
Oh,
nearly riding into one. It was dark. Whoa, I better pull up.
Well, didn't you young Ipswich blokes used to have, because there'd be all those hope, and you'd actually swim in a lot of those holes out there, I used to hear.
Yeah, the stupid kids did.
Yeah, righto.
Not you, Adam.
That's why you're still alive.
Thanks, Adam, from Ipswich. Teresa from Ipswich. Oh, is that the Ipswich Mayor, Teresa Harding? Hello, Teresa.
Hey, Margot, how are you?
Yeah, good. We've heard Channel 9 ran a story last night. Raylene, she's getting intense headaches from the smell that's happening out at Ipswich, but we've just had a couple of people confirm that there isn't a smell out there. What's going on?
Oh, look, Margot, this has been going on for probably about 10 years now in Ipswich. And it's
10 years?
It has been. This is a movement that's been community-led. The community have been discussing this for over 10 years about the odours. In 2018, the state government set up an odour abatement task force just to, you know, because there had been so many complaints about the five privately owned waste operators around Newcham and Swan Bank. And since then, in less than 4 years, there's been over 16,000 complaints.
Okay. Wow. Is it rubbish or what are they doing?
Well, there's five landfill and composting areas out there. The smell is worse certainly around 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, sometimes at 5 or 6 in the morning.
What does that mean?
So obviously, look, this is the thing. The Department of Environment Science are looking at it, but last week council unanimously voted to write to the Minister for Health to ask for a public health inquiry. Under the Public Health Act, the Minister can ask for a public health inquiry. We are getting thousands and thousands of complaints from residents about headaches, nausea, chest pains. We really need to see if there's any ongoing health issues for people. And I just want to thank the community organisations such as iRate, the Ipswich Residents Against Toxic Environment, who've been really pushing this cause for over 10 years.
So, Teresa, after 10 years, obviously nothing has yet been achieved. What do you see being the solution moving forward? And is the Ipswich Council backing the support of its community?
Look, we had a new council come in 2020 and we were very much on the mark. We asked to meet with the state government to discuss the waste and some of the issues out there, including the odours. And we do have a joint task force. But I guess we're looking at the fact that we're doing this, but we're not seeing a lot happen. We're not seeing much change. We're not seeing the waste industry make those changes that they need to make. So look, we're calling on the state government to do a public health inquiry. The people of Ipswich do deserve it. The people of Newcham, the people of Collingwood Park, Swan Bank, but also Bellbird Park and Dinmore, they deserve the same clean, fresh air that the rest of the Ipswich residents have as well. So we really do need to get to the bottom of this.
Did you find it interesting? The Greens got in here in Brisbane in a few seats, and one of them was purely on community issues. What's his name? Max, whatever his name is, double barrel last name. He got in because he campaigned and door knocked about the flight path of the second runway. He got into federal government because of that. Did anyone have a go at running on Saturday because of this?
Certainly there was a local Greens candidate who also ran on this, Danielle Mutton. She had signs up to close Cleanaway.
Okay.
She certainly campaigned on it. And she did get a swing towards her out here on the weekend as well.
So who do you need, if they're listening right now, to get on board, Teresa? Is it Anastasia Palaszczuk? Is it
Yvette Dath?
Yeah.
It's just the Minister for Health, but we need our local state MPs out here, but also the Cabinet to listen to the people of Ipswich.
Yeah,
this has been going on for too long. We're happy to have legal operations out there that comply with the law, but they're not complying with the law, and unfortunately they're not really getting any fines for not complying with the law.
Teresa, were these the dumps where there were people coming from New South Wales? They were driving, because dumping in New South Wales was so expensive, they were driving thousands kilometres to come up here and dump cheaper out there. Gee. This is the place.
Yes, it is.
Are they still doing that?
Look, it did slow down a lot, but with the floods, we have taken in those areas have taken in more of the waste from northern New South Wales to help out during the flood. But regardless of that, all of them have to operate within the law. And we also need to know, the residents need to know, are there any long-term health impacts from these odours? and what's happening? And I think it's a fair question. It's been gone for many years, and I think that the Queensland Government do owe that to the people of Ipswich.
Well, if there's anything that Triple M can do to help you, Teresa Harding, and the community of Ipswich, we have a lot of listeners from out that way. Maybe we should start a petition. 16,000 complaints so far. Teresa, we wish you all the best. Good luck.
Thanks, Margot. Thanks, Marto.
Marto and Margot. Triple M Breakfast.
So I'm minding my own business watching the news last night. Channel 9 kept telling me, have a look at this Logan security guard.
You're about to meet Queensland's tough-talking security guard, known as the Kevinator. Logan father, Kevin Martin, takes on law-breaking citizens wherever he finds them.
I've yelled out to Kath.
What an awesome nickname.
The Kevinator.
The Kevinator.
That was my dad's nickname. Oh, and my dad's name is Kevin Martin.
Your dad is Kev Martin.
Dead a few years now. Dead 3 or 4 years. Jeez, when did dad die? Anyway.
May he rest in peace.
Hey, Kevy. So I get Kath. I said, come out here. Dad's on the telly. No, this guy is a champion.
Hey, come on. What's going on here?
Oh, sorry.
What's this sorry bull? Do it all the time here.
My dad, Kev, would absolutely love this, Kev.
What's he doing? He's a security guard.
He's a security guard down at Logan, and he's fronting all these shoplifting little...
Oh, shoplifting.
Turds. Anyway, here he is now. Kevin Martin, hello.
There you go, buddy.
Oh, mate, it warms the cockles of my heart to speak to a Kevin Martin. Hey, what's going on? Are you allowed to do what you're doing, fronting all these kids? Because we always get told, oh, you're going to let them go.
Oh, you can. You're not breaking the law by doing it. Basically, you're policy-based. You know, if you want the criminals to keep coming back, you've got to be nice. You know, if you you want to talk a bit more harshly towards them, they won't come back. I mean, the idiots come back, but you're not breaking the law by talking to them like that.
Kev, you've obviously got the support of your company that you work for, because we saw just recently a gentleman who worked for Supercheap Auto. He pulled up that lady who had the pram with all of the, you know, alleged stolen goods inside it, and they stood him down. You obviously have the support of the company that you work for to be able to, you know, crack down on these criminals.
Well, if you don't crack down on them, they just keep coming back. I mean, Supercheap must have a good insurance policy.
Oh, yeah. You ask any franchisee or small business owner how much they get stolen. They know how much gets stolen, but no one's got the balls to do anything about it.
That's the problem.
Do you ever get blowback from the people when you go, lift that shirt up, I can see what's underneath there? Have you ever had people push back?
Oh, all the time, mate, all the time. But I've been doing security 30 years, so I'm expecting that. And you do pick your battles. That's why you have a body cam. You know, it's if you've got a body cam on, you can just present that to the magistrate. This is what happened. The magistrate don't like the body cam because it shows that the criminals... not doing the right thing.
Yeah. What sort of stuff are they stealing, Kev? What's the biggest? Is it valuable stuff, or is it just, you know, times are tough and people are trying to get by?
Oh, look, you know, people are going to keep saying that times are tough, people are hungry. It's a lot of drug activity. People are stealing food because they got they spent their money on the drugs.
Yeah.
And they need to pay their drug dealers in cash. So they're coming to stealing whatever they can get. You know, it's whether it's meat down the pants, I get a lot of that. People just ripping the packet open and shoving it down their pants.
The smart shoplifters go elsewhere. The dumb ones keep on coming back and getting Kevin Martin in their face.
Yeah, well, that's pretty well it, mate, yeah.
Never met a bad Kev. You're a champion, mate.
Keep up the good work,
mate. Thanks, guys.
Marto and Margot on Triple M Breakfast.
Marto, yesterday I overheard a conversation that you were having with your wife, Kath, on the phone.
Okay.
And you were talking about something. You needed to pick something up for a mate. You were buying something for a mate of yours, and you said, yeah, get him a pink or purple pair.
Got a mate of mine.
And I said, what are you doing?
No, I had to send some nails. A mate of mine's helping me with a job over at Moreton Island.
He's over there?
He does during the week. I come in and jump in on the weekends and stuff, okay? And he needed some fibro nails, and then all of a sudden the call comes in, oh, mate, I've busted me glasses. And I'm going, oh, I never even noticed, because I wear glasses all the time. He only wears them when he has to read the tape. And he said, I've got to have them, otherwise I can't do any more. I can't read the tape measure, because he's the same age as me. We were virtually at school together. We've been lifelong carpentry friends.
Does he wear his crooked like you do?
Mm.
You know that yours are not on straight, don't you?
Do I care? If you didn't tell me, I wouldn't know. Now I'm all concerned.
The last ones you had, Marto, used to have a bit of Band-Aid or tape around them.
He tried that. Now he tried that with his. He did have tape. He goes, now they're totally rooted. So the whole thing's fallen off. That bit there. So he said,
Can you get me some glasses? But don't you have to get like a script and go to OPSM or Specsavers?
I should have known better. He's my age and he's single, never married. So you can. He runs a fairly loose operation.
Okay, sure.
Wife, okay? Anyone who knows Shorey. So he said, I need some glasses. And I went, what, just are they chemist ones? Because I could just never imagine
him. Oh, of course, you can just get like the 2+ or
10+. I said, I don't understand that world of chemist glasses because I go to Specsavers.
Proper place.
He said, no, all you got to do is go in and you get a pair of, he said, write this down, you know, 2.5 magnification glasses. So I tell
I heard you tell Kath.
I said, Kath, these are for Shorey. Can you get a pair of pink or purple ones?
Stitch him up.
So they've got over. I haven't seen the photos because I won't see him until Friday.
Oh, but, so you've sent them over to him at Morton in the post.
And when he would have opened up the little case. No, I dropped a bag on the boat yesterday.
He's going to get a hot pink pair of
food,
glasses.
Some nails and his pink pair of new glasses.
You said 2.5 mag. You didn't stipulate what colour.
He didn't say what colour because I asked him what colour. He said, doesn't matter. And so it does. When they get it. Anyway.
Well, that's what happens when you get somebody else to do it for you.
I love stitching mates up when you can. Just little stitch-ups. I don't like wrecking their lives.
No. Corey's really good at it. Corey will, at a restaurant, tell the restaurant that it's someone's birthday when it's not. And stitches them up and they get a birthday, like a dessert.
People at other tables.
Like our friends. No, if we go out for dinner with friends, he'll be like, oh, see that blonde girl over there? It's her birthday. And then they'll come around and say, happy birthday. And she's sitting there going, it's not my birthday.
That is so wonderfully subtle, that one. I love it.
He loves a good stitch up. He stitched me up once. We went to, remember Michael Innes plays for the, played for the Broncos, Lego Fox head. Commentator. His son's first birthday when they lived up in Brisbane was a Disney thing. Themed like characters, right?
Well, adults as well.
Yeah, well, it was a dress-up party. Oh. And Corey's like, I'll go and get costumes. I'm like, yep, because I was too busy, little kids, et cetera. And I said, oh, you know, give me like Princess Jasmine or the Little Mermaid or, you know, something
Disney
beautiful.
Yeah.
He come home with Big Bird.
For you.
I went to this first birthday party dressed as Big Bird. I had a big floppy beak. I had a big yellow fabriced outfit, yellow leggings, and I wore it because I was like, I don't want to turn up in nothing because, you know, I'm all in, and I turned up looking like Big Bird.
Well, that's a great stitch.
He's like, nah, I thought that was way more funny.
What did he go as? Superman or something?
He went as Kermit the Frog.
Oh, that's solid. He stitched himself up too. Oh, can we just talk little stitch-ups of mates? Like, not huge pranks that, you know, that are terrible or anything, just those little stitch-ups. I love going as Big Bird. That suited me. I'm tall. I loved it.
We then went to another birthday party, and it was a beef because the guy's name was Brad, and the dress-up was you have to go as something starting with the letter of his name, B. Yeah, and Corey's like, yeah, get me Batman. Yeah. I got him Buzz Lightyear.
Oh, that's good, too.
I got my own. I got my own back.
That same night I got my mate an Alf outfit. He went, oh, my God, this head is so heavy. So he was single, and he didn't come home that night. And when he finally came home about 10 in the morning, he'd left his head at the girl whose place he'd never met her before.
He didn't get his deposit back.
There's some girl... If you're listening, there's some girl who's still, lost the bond.
She's still got it, probably.
She's still got, imagine if you had this huge head of Alf. Anyway, that's another story.
Owen from Regent's Park, 133353. Did you get stitched up or did you do the stitching?
No, I had a cocky young labourer working for me. We did some work at away down in Yamba.
Oh, I better sort him out.
Pretty good. Yeah.
What'd you do?
Well, we stopped off the servo on the way from to the job, and he got a drink, and he get in the car. He says, "I reckon I had a bit of a connection with that bird in there."
Oh yeah, what at the servo?
Yeah. He reckoned in the 4 minutes he was at the counter and the queue, he had a connection. So I pretended to be him and made a fake call to her at the service station about 9 o'clock.
And what did you say? Organised
a date.
Oh, turn it up.
Well, did you give her his number? No, I didn't actually make the call. I just did the call in front of him and pretended to be him.
Yeah. Where did
so
we
then
finish
we let
up?
Him knock off. We let him knock off early.
Oh, so you get ready.
Did you go see
ready.
Her?
And, you know, he went and got ready to meet her, and then we rolled up. Well, me and the rest of the boys rolled up in stitches.
Oh, that's great. Bit of gold, Owen. That'll knock his confidence
down. That'll teach him.
Oh, thank
John
you, mate.
John from Mitchelton, good morning.
How you going?
Yeah, good, mate. Stitch-ups.
My best mate bought my wife a Sudanese mini-cup pig.
A pig?
He told me it was a Sudanese mini cup pig. He bought it off a Sudanese guy off Gumtree for $50, and it weighs about 400 kilos.
Oh, no. They don't grow up to be so mini, do they, those little piggies? What did she do? What did she do with the pig?
It tasted pretty good.
Oh, you ate it. Yeah, good job. In the freezer.
How long did you have it for?
Well, we got a couple of complaints from the council because it wouldn't shut up. It kept digging up the yard.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's magnificent. Well played him. Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Margo. Marto and Margo for breakfast here at Triple M. If we were the election, I'd be the Liberals because I'm dinosauric and I'd go, it always rains. It's just climate change. What climate change? Whereas you'd be the Greens. Women and youngsters would be flocking to you. Wouldn't that be a good analysis?
I reckon that'd be a good analysis, Marto.
Well, I don't know who the Labor Party is. Who cares?
Who cares? They didn't get many of the votes because Greens got all the votes and Brisbane slayed when it came to the Greens.
Who knew we'd be this green?
Who knew that we
good
were
on
this
you, Brizzy?
Progressive, Marto? People want Look change. Who knew that women actually voted and were sick of old white men down in Canberra?
Incredible.
Not addressing our needs in society. But it was the Greens, of course, that got Labor over the line because, of course, if you don't understand how politics works, independents and the third parties, they have preferences and they preference Liberal or Labor.
Incredible.
And the Greens preference Labor and they hope to work together with Labor, who are some, you know, now
it'll be like
spruiking change.
They'll hate each other in the few months' time and then we all hate them and then we'll have to go and vote for them again.
Well, I think that might work in the Greens' favour more because they're now the largest third party in the Senate, Marto. So they'll only need their votes plus one or two other to pass things. They don't actually need Labor. Labor need the Greens more than they need them. And who are the Greens, you say? Well, this is them.
We've got Penny Ormond Payne who's going to come in the Senate. Elizabeth Watson-Brown is the next member for Ryan. Max Chandler-Mather in Griffith.
Yeah, and that's
Have
Adam
you noticed
Bant.
Something there? They've all got hyphenated last names.
Because they're woke and they're progressive and they don't need to take on somebody else's name. They can have several.
I want both parents to be involved. Oh, hello.
They certainly are. And they kept saying yesterday, I'm now currently following the Greens on, there's the Australian Greens and then there's like the Young Greens or something as well.
Oh,
and then
young
there's
Greens?
Yeah, then there's like just the Greens.
What
and
about the Smoking Greens?
Then there's the Queensland Greens.
Did you see the legalised cannabis party got a lot of votes. They're the smoking
They got more
green.
Than Pauline and Clive.
They'd
spent all that money on advertising and here the pot smokers of Queensland got across the line more so. There was some pretty funny material on Batuta Advocate yesterday insisting that Adam Bant, the leader of the Greens party, you know, just rolled himself a big baseball and sat down and just revelled in their win and take
alley.
Over. But no, they're saying it's a, what is it?
It is a green slide tonight.
Oh,
green slide.
Not a landslide. It's a green not slide. A,
yeah,
hilarious.
It's a green slide.
That is so funny.
You
They're
know cute. Us. We always have our take on something. And, you know, we gave it to ScoMo a fair bit over the course of his term. And I figured that, you know, maybe we should get behind and support the Queensland Greens.
Greenslander!
Oh, yeah.
It's not as deep and hoarse as Queenslander for the NRL. It's Greenslander.
Motto and Margo, Triple M Breakfast.
I know the AFL had their Indigenous round last weekend, NRL this weekend, and they all started to unveil their jerseys. I've only got one Indigenous jersey. It's a red one, and I love the bloody thing. I hope it's all right as a white fella me wearing it because it's. I really love the Indigenous jerseys.
Yeah, I've got two. I've got a Broncos one, and I've got a Firebirds Indigenous jersey.
Have they got an Indigenous
one? Yeah, Firebirds? Memphis has got one of their polos and an Indigenous jersey for the Firebirds as well, Marto. They're beautiful. The artworks is incredible.
I lived up in Arnhem Land for a year building houses for Aboriginal communities when I was younger, and the dot art, I was always fascinated by how they did it, the intricacy, et cetera. And now they've brought it onto. If you get a chance, have a look at the Broncos one, or you'll see it
so
this weekend.
Bright and colourful. It's
I've
beautiful.
I've never seen one like it. You know,
yeah.
If you ever eat fruit tingles, you know, they're plain colour, plain colour.
The green.
Then they have the one that's got all the colours munched in together.
Into it together, multicoloured.
This could quite possibly be the most spectacular Indigenous jersey. I know some people go, oh, it looks like someone had a spew on it because it has got so much
colour.
Depth and colour to it. Selwyn Cobbo, Albert Kelly, and Katoni Staggs apparently helped design it. They helped.
Amazing.
I've got a few friends in the Coorwell mob, and one of the Coorwell girls, I think it's Casey Coorwell Fisher, she helped design it. She was the artist who actually did it. So
yeah,
I just want to go through this for everyone. A little bit Indigenous early in the morning. This is Katoni Staggs, and I found it quite interesting to him to talk about how they designed it.
Me and Albert Kelly got the opportunity to sit down, go through what we wanted to put on the jersey, and I think the main thing that came to us was our totems from where we're from. We all got different totems, and it could either be a tree or an animal. So, we've got the animals on the front, and that was probably one thing that came down and to have on the front of the jersey. And there's a couple others with the you've got some boomerangs on each shoulder that represents power and strength. And then you've got it looks like a footy on the front of the jersey, right on your stomach, and it's a shield from going out there on the battlefield, which is going to be Suncorp come this weekend. And it was just some of the ideas that what we wanted to put in front there.
Nice.
It is really beautiful. I'm just looking at it now. It's got a big Indigenous football on the front, Marta, of course. And then the animals that he speaks of, there's a turtle, there's the stingray, there's a ringtail possum, there's a snake, there's a goanna. It is really beautiful. I mean, if you can get your hands on one of these jerseys, it's iconic. That's beautiful. Yeah, really beautiful.
Are we allowed to wear them? Like, everyone can wear them, can't they? We're not against the laws of anyone.
I definitely think...
You get stuck in.
Especially seeing Anthony Albanese hanging the Indigenous flag, the First Nations people flag yesterday, and the Torres Strait Island flag behind him in the press conferences. I think, this moving forward, like we said, progressive change is important to people. And this is a really great representation of that. So get behind it, I say. Corey's going around the house. Stock is Margot's busy parking orders. Time for... yesterday, Marto, our daughter, Memphis, had the day off school, and there was outrage yesterday morning because they're like, why does she get the day off?
Don't tell me monkeypox is in the parkers, hey?
We got a text message, Corey and I, both parents of course, Memphis, our eldest daughter, who's 12 in grade 7 high school. Okay. They send you out a text message for each class that she's missed because they have different teachers, of course, who then... her presence or lack thereof.
Every class.
It's the future.
It is the future. Just to let us know that Memphis is absent, and if there is any reason for her absence or we're not aware of it, you can text back a reply or you can just call the office and let them know. So I got the text message yesterday a couple of times. So I responded and to which I responded, tired. I couldn't think.
Exhaustion.
I didn't want to say she's sick because she wasn't. And if I said sick, then they probably would have made her stay at home. COVID, flu, that's a bit of an issue. Would have had to have had a RAT or a PCR or get a medical certificate, etc. So I just went.
So she wasn't sick?
Tired. No, not sick. Corey also happened to get the same message. We weren't together, of course. And he thought, being the dutiful parent that he is, he'd reply also as to why she was absent from school.
Wonderful.
Not tired, just that she had an appointment.
Oh, look, her tiredness?
Oh, I should have thought of that. That's a good one, appointment, because I was like, oh, what do I say? Anyway, she had a day off, Marto, and the real reason she wasn't sick, she wasn't tired. I was too drunk Sunday night to pick her up. I had a very long ladies' lunch at Howard Smith Balls for a friend's birthday party. She had gone to the netball to watch her girlfriend play out at Ipswich. That girlfriend is a pea plater. She brought her home back to her place. They live out at Jimboomba. I was at Howard Smith Wharves. Corey was in Sydney. I'm like, I can't get her home.
No wonder you couldn't get your stories matched
up. She said, Mum, can I just stay the night? And I was like, yeah, no worries. She's like,
She's had a good year.
She goes,
school.
I got an A+ on my English assessment last week. I got a B+ on my science assignment. Like, she totally sold it to me.
If you give them a whack, you got to give them a little reward.
Yeah, and I was like, no dramas. But it was funny because then Monday morning rolls around and Corey and I both gave the school different reasons as to why she was absent.
So you're the problem here because you should have said drunkenness.
I should have consulted with him. 133353. When have you as parents got your wires crossed? You know, sometimes I say no and Corey will say yes and I'll be like, I said no. And he'll be like, oh, I didn't know that. And I'm like, because the kids will go, Mum said no, so we'll go ask Dad. We'll get him surely because he's the fun parent, you know, and I'm the bad cop. I'm always the one that says no.
Can you imagine how many mixed families, like when the kids are shared between the parents, how many wires get crossed in those ones?
Separated families or lost uniforms. Oh,
mixed messages and crossed wires.
133353. Has it happened to you? Make me feel better.
If the two of you go, if you got a party or something, you got to go to and you go, couldn't be, I don't really want to go to that. If both of you tell the person, we're not coming, but different reasons.
Why? It's horrible. Oh, that's embarrassing.
And they know you're lying.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Craig from Rosewood, have you got your wires crossed?
Yeah. Years back when the young bloke was going to high school, he actually changed my partner's contact details. So when the office sent a absent message home to my missus, it's actually going to his mobile phone.
So smart. So
he was... What a genius.
How many days did you work out he missed using this scheme?
Well, it wasn't until a couple of years after he finished high school that he actually admitted to what was going on. He thought it was funny, and I guess so did we at the time after he came clean about it, but yeah, genius.
That's smart.
Can we just check, is he a genius? What's he doing now, Craig?
He's into the building game, mate. He's a bit of fencing, a bit of roofing, and he's doing really well, mate.
Genius. Yeah, that's great, him. Mate.
Great yarn, Craig. Hey, Seafuel in Cleveland. Experience great tasting seafood like never before. You just won yourself a $50 Seafuel voucher, Craig. Congratulations, mate.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you.
Marto and Margot, Triple M Breakfast.
I don't like talking about Bunnings, quite simply because...
Stop it. Yes, you do.
No, I don't. Because my daughter's boyfriend, his dad owns a hardware store up the road here.
Ah, okay.
So he runs that and
supports small business.
And Brett's, that's Paddo Hardware. And Brett's, I've been a client there. I've had an account there for 34 years or something or other. So, they're local. And then Bunnings came along and... Ooh, they're pretty handy.
There's so many different stores, aren't there? They're so convenient.
Anyway, so I had a day. At the moment, I'm about 4 months into it's a little reno, but I can make little renos go for a long time. I need it. So anyone knows, if anyone's ever bought new windows, you'll realise how expensive they are. So I'm building my own, the frame. But I've decided to go with gas struts. You know, gas struts on Utah, windows that go shoot.
We've got one of them.
How good are they?
Yeah, but ours is aluminium, not timber. Is it timber?
I got a timber frame and I've dropped my own.
You've got to miter the edges, Marto.
Yeah, it's all wonderful, but I had to get all the struts and all the bits and pieces. The number of bits and pieces, it's a product called Goliath. Bunnings are the only mob who sell it. So I went to, first I went to Newstead Bunnings and I knew exactly what I wanted. There's only six windows, so I needed 12 of everything sort of thing.
Can I double check? Is Bunnings exactly the same every store you go to? Like, are aisles the same? Like, you go...
That's an interesting question.
I know where the gas struts are. It's aisle 14. You know, is it always the same?
Stafford's always been my shop until I moved to from Newmarket. And now Newstead's my shop. I'm not that happy with Newstead Bunnings because you go up an elevator and that spins me out a little bit. So it's different.
Yeah, okay.
But I know where the Goliath... So it's a Goliath area. Bang. I go, they've got three of this and they haven't got any of those. So I go to the guy and I said, mate, I'm after all these. He goes, maybe try Stafford, mate. Righto. So I go to Stafford, get another two. I'm now onto four of one thing and three of the other.
Okay.
And I go, they haven't got enough of the other. So I go to Capera Bunnings. I'm up to my third Bunnings. It's not even lunchtime yesterday, okay? Yes. So then I said to the guy, I'd had enough at Capera. I said, listen, mate, haven't you got one of those little machines? Yeah, and they do.
I was going to say, get them to ring ahead.
No, it's like a little
stock.
That's what I did. I got smart after the third one. And he said, listen, well, wouldn't you think if they're the only people to sell the product, and I know global supply and all the rest of it, so I only needed another three little ring fasteners, they're called, or they've got a little nipple on them. You don't want about the thing. So I said, mate, tell me where this is. I'll go to Toowoomba if you tell me that's where it is. Just tell me where it is. I don't want to waste any more of my time. So he did, and he buzzed it. He said, righto, there's the product number. Righto, got that. And I already knew it because
they've got
my
this
third
many.
Shop.
They tell you how many they've got.
They had seven.
Seven.
How did you know
you
this?
You should have just gone there the first place.
No, they didn't have enough of everything. I had to go to at least two.
Okay.
By this stage,
you're up to your third.
All right. He said, go to Brendale Bunnings. I said, Brendale Bunnings. Yeah, of course. I'm an Aspley kid. I grew up in Aspley.
You know Brendale.
Brendale's. Okay. So I walk into that one and I go straight to the Goliath thing and I know exactly where it is. I'd recognise the number. Empty.
Oh, how
Blower.
Annoying.
This is the fourth Bunnings of the day.
Because sometimes stores don't do their stock take properly.
That's what he said. He said, I can't guarantee, but I'll tell you what, they're saying there's seven unless someone's miscounted it or somebody's bought it. I said, no way, I'm going. I went straight away.
How long does it take to get there from where you were?
It took 25, 30.
Oh, Jesus.
So I go to the end of the aisle and I go, right, who can I front here? And I said, listen, love, I found a girl. I said, I got sent here from Capera Bunnings, and they promised me that you had this product. It's 432. And I said, it's down the end of that aisle. I if you want to come down here, do. He specifically said,
go to Brenda.
Brenda Bunnings. And she's just looked at me and she said, this is Castledine Bunnings,
oh,
love.
No.
Oh, God. What? No, this is surely this is Brenda. There's another bloody Bunnings about 2 kilometres. How did I know that was Castledine Bunnings? So, yeah, 5 Bunnings one day. No one can beat that.
5 Bunnings.
Yeah, oh, lowest price is just the beginning. Cross. Marto and Margot. Triple M Breakfast. Hey, listen, as the day goes on, you might hear some rumours about Daniel Ricciardo, of course, underperforming at McLaren in Formula One on $15 million a year. There's rumours they might be going to start a young bloke and cut his contract. Supercars have stepped in. So that'd be like going from NRL to playing pub footy. So keep an eye on that one as the day goes on. Marto and Margot, Triple M Breakfast. Is fishing a sport?
Just say yes. Competitive deep-sea chartered fishing is.
Well, no, and beach fishing is. And everything. Well, I have a sad announcement anyway. It's about fishing. Yesterday they came out, Alvy Reels came out and said, that's it, we're shutting down. And if anyone remembers, 4 or 5 years ago, well, yeah, 2 or 3 years before the pandemic, they said, we're shutting. And they're at Darra. They, until the 74 floods, they were at St. Lucia with this beautiful thing. They started in 1920. They've been going 102 years. And it looked like they weren't going to make it. And then a mate of mine got on board. He's a liquidator. He found an investor.
Willing to keep it alive.
I think his name was. He had a bit of dough and he loved fishing. He said, listen, let's keep it going.
Alvy is iconic, Australian. We're going to keep it going.
If anyone doesn't know what we're talking about, Alvy reels are probably the greatest side cast reel in the history of fishing. They're...
Can I ask a vague question?
Yes.
Does Alvy reels have anything to do with Alvy Mangles?
No,
that's
Alvy.
Oh,
as in
Alvy.
His name was Albert, but
apologize.
Then he went Alvy. No, that's okay. Worthwhile asking.
Back you go.
For historical purposes. Alvy, A-L-V-E-Y. Charles Alvy started. I think Bruce is running it these days. Bruce Alvy. 102 years it's been going.
Incredible.
And the problem is that they made the greatest reels on earth because, especially for beach fishing, if you're having a problem, you go, oh, geez, there's sand. If you go the egg beater, you know, the egg beater reels, if you get sand in there, you are virtually stuffed. You can't get it out. Whereas Alvy's, you get it in there, you just dunk it in the sea right next to where you're fishing. Oh, look at that, fixed itself up because it's a spindle. There's no bearings inside there. So there's nothing can rust and nothing can, like,
get caught.
They're virtually frictionless. When you're on it like that, they're incredible.
So they're so good, you only ever need one of them. Is that what's happened?
That's the problem. I reckon I own 8, but there's all different types. There's light surf, there's rock fishing, there's heavy, there's deep
word
fishing.
Word on the street is, Marto, you own 11. But okay, yep, we'll go with 8 for Kath's purposes if you're listening, Kath.
And that is true. I'll take a photo, like people are taking photos of their R.M. Williams today for 90 years of R.M. Williams.
Yeah, 90th anniversary.
Some people own too many R.M. Williams. I own too many Alvy.
But it's terribly sad, though, that Australian iconic brands and manufacturing in Australia is becoming not a thing.
Well, R.M. Williams is going to keep on going, but quite simply, Alvy's shutting down for one and one reason only. They're too reliable. They're too durable. They're too good. They built these bloody things. If they'd gone the Chinese model, it'll break after 2 years, then they have to buy another one, they'd still be in business. But no, the Alvy's went, we'll build the greatest reel. There's people still fishing with their grandfathers and great-grandfathers' reels, and that's the problem,
unfortunately. And it means something to them.
And if I know I got a text message from a mate of mine saying, leave out your Alvy's. That's the last bloody thing you want to do. Don't let go leaving your Alvy's out. Someone will steal the bastard.
Someone will pinch them. Triple M Breakfast with Marto and
Margo. Backman Turner Overdrive. You ain't seen nothing yet. A bit of blue sky poking through the River City this morning. The Bureau reckons, though, the rain will return a little bit later. 18 degrees at the top of Caxton Street. Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Margo at 7:08.
Marto, I know normally we talk a lot of rugby league because that is the code that we love and support
league.
Here. Thank you, Peter. In Queensland and Brisbane, of course, a couple of teams and a fourth team to come here in Queensland. But it's been all about the soccer in my house of late because my son Jagger, our 8-year-old, our second son is soccer mad. He got 5 soccer balls from all his mates for his birthday last week. He now owns 4 or 5 soccer jerseys of different teams.
What does his older brother say to him? Oh, it's only soccer.
You're a sook. Play soccer. And I just remind Wiley very gently that as an NRL player, one day if he chooses and wishes to play, the most he'll probably sign is a $1 million deal, right?
Who's the highest paid player in rugby league? Makes $1.1 million.
Ben Hunt, Daly Cherry Evans.
Yeah, they're all around there.
All around a million.
Yeah, 1 point.
Incredible money. Incredible money.
Fabulous.
To play football, right?
Yeah.
But the real deal when we're talking contracts and money, we saw Tom Brady sign huge deals over in the NFL.
Just to commentate.
But soccer is where it's at, and if Jagger makes it in soccer and decides to sign an $898 million deal like Kylian Mbappe just has for Paris Saint-Germain. I mean, look,
are you
who's
telling me
crying now, Wiley?
are you telling me Mbappe's what signed a 900?
Mbappe has just signed a 3-year extension deal that will see him stay at Paris Saint-Germain until 2025 for, in Australian dollars, $898 million.
$300 million a year.
A year. Well, we were outraged at Messi signing a $45 million deal a year.
My God.
But this trumps, I think he would, but maybe just behind Cristiano Ronaldo, highest paid soccer player
Ronaldo.
In the world.
But Ronaldo's on $120 million a year or something. That LeBron James. So don't play rugby league.
No, don't play rugby
play
league.
Basketball.
Get your kiddies into soccer.
Soccer.
Tennis.
Basketball.
No,
yeah, tennis.
Basketball.
Naomi Osaka, I know that. She makes about $50 million a year, and she's not even all that good.
Ash Barty's just retired at 25 years old on $40 million or something ridiculous. Soccer's where it's at, mums and dads. So driving your kids to sport in the rain. How many Australian soccer players have translated over into the European
League? The whole of the Socceroos, none of them play here in the A-League. They all play over in England or England, France, Holland or Japan and make heaps of money.
Yeah, Corey and I have come to the agreement. Well, I have come to the agreement that Corey will stay here with Wiley and follow his NRL
and
career. I'll be living in the south of France with Jagger in the Soccer European Premier League.
It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show.
Triple M.